Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 is that verse. It's a great verse. Let me begin by just reminding the ladies that tomorrow night is a very important women's ministry meeting at the building at 6 p.m. Be here. Be here for that very special time, the ladies' ministry meeting. Come and be prepared for that. Many of you already know about it, but I'm just giving you a quick reminder about that. Well, you see, the title of the lesson today is The Curse, and it has nothing to do with the month of the year or a holiday that may be coming around. Just a little something that comes out of the book, the Bible. And as Kenneth was reading to us this morning about the scripture that we ought to study to show ourselves approved to one another. Why? Well, we need to be workers who need not to be ashamed and rightly or handle aright the Word of God. I believe that's what Kenneth read to us today from our passage, our reading, our scripture. And that tells us a number of great things. And I want to just say to you that, you know, when you are studying the scripture, it never ceases to amaze me that no matter how often you may have looked at that passage or a section of scripture you may be studying, how you can come across some things maybe that you've not seen before. That's just the marvelous wonderment of what God does for us in the Holy Word, the message of God. And our scripture today comes from the book of Malachi. And as we talk about this great subject today, I want you to know that there are a few things that I've found in here that are new to me. Now, you may have already seen them, and that's okay. But I want to point out a couple of things to you today in our study, just to encourage you with them. So let us read. I want you to come along here and read with me, beginning in Malachi chapter 3 and at verse 6. It begins by saying, I, the Lord, do not change. Now that's a sermon within itself, isn't it? I have a tendency, just want to stop here and preach some about that. I'm not going to do that. But remember that the Lord is faithful and He remains the same. While He may have changed how He works with us from time to time throughout the scripture, as you well know if you studied it, the Lord Himself and His principles do not change. So you, he says, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. That means I didn't go back on my promise. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet, you rob me. And you ask, well, how are we robbing you? Well, in tithes and in offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. But the whole tithe, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open for you the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it. Not enough room to store it. Hey, did you ever say this? You get what you pay for. There are just some times in life when you have some choices to make and you make a special, a particular one, and you think, well, I'm going to do this because this is the economical one. I'm going the cheap route because it really won't matter. And later on, you came to a conclusion that that was a mistake. I should have got the one that had a little better quality or the item or whatever that might have been. And you probably said, well, I got what I paid for. Well, that seems to be sort of a thing that a number of people live by. Whether you've ever said it or not, you probably thought it. And most of us probably, in fact, follow that principle in our lives more than we are willing to admit. Now, when I say principle, that's what I want to talk about. And in fact, I'm going to talk about some principles for a couple of weeks that center themselves around some very important things, how I am to live biblically. So, I want you to see this morning's lesson much deeper than the idea of what was mentioned here in the idea of tithe and offering. The Bible says a lot of different things that have to do with finances. The Bible says that you shall not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Well, that makes sense. The ox that's doing the plowing certainly ought to get an opportunity to eat, don't you think? I mean, if you wanted to continue to be your beast of burden, I guess maybe Donald may be the only one's got an ox around. Well, you don't have an ox, do you? But you do have some cattle, and you have to feed them. And that's a principle. That's like when you have somebody do a job for you. You like to maybe fix a sandwich for them or see that they're fed while they're able doing you a favor and doing the job. This is a common sense kind of thing. And the person that works for you, a laborer, is worthy of his hire. God is simply saying that a person doing a job ought to be paid for that. He ought to be taken care of because he does that. And we all appreciate that we're under certain kinds of principles like that. I hope you don't fall into the you get what you pay for trap too often. Just remember to make good decisions and realize that it's a good principle to pay the laborer and don't muzzle the ox that's treading out the corn. And in reality, I guess all of us would like to make different decisions sometimes, but how many of us sing the little Seven Dwarves songs, I owe, it's off to work I go. Well, that maybe was a little change in what they sang, but we all recognize that that's kind of the way things are in life. Maybe more than it should be. However, I think you view that particular principle, it will also reveal a lot about how you view life. In the scripture that we read, Malachi, it said, will a man or will a person rob God? Can you rob God? And when you think about that, Doug, you think, how does a person, I mean, who would even think of robbing God, right? I wouldn't want to think about robbing God, and yet he's saying, you rob God because you don't practice the principle of tithes and offerings. I know you know this principle. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a person sows, or a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. You know this verse. It's Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. The idea is to keep it up. Like I say, all you got to do is show up. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And this word cursed in the Old Testament, it's an interesting word. It actually translated, or what it means in English, is execrate, which is not a word that you probably use every day, but literally saying, it's God saying they were evil. Well, that made a lot of sense to me, Ray. That finally turned a light bulb on for me, because I remembered that over in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, and at verse 10, that Paul had made this statement, and you all know this verse. It says, for the love of money is the root of all what? It's the curse. Yeah, the curse. You are cursed. You've become evil because you don't practice the right kind of response to this principle of giving. Jesus taught it like this. It's recorded in Acts chapter 20 and at verse 35. And it says, I have shown you all things, how that labor, not just money, that you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how that he said, you can say this with me, it is more blessed to give than to receive. See, you know that. That's what Jesus taught. He's talking about an idea of an attitude that's a giving one. And I don't mind saying to you that I sometimes have to pull myself up short. I know I'm already short, okay? But, I mean, pull myself up short in my lifestyle when I recognize that what my, are you watching? What my heart wants to do is really not the giving part of life. I'd really rather keep it. I'd really not give it up. Now, I don't care what this translates to you for, but to me, that says no matter whether it's my time, whether it's the things that I enjoy or I have that I could share, sometimes I don't want to give them up. And I have to remember that the Lord Jesus said, more blessed to give than it is to receive. And it makes me remember that, hey, I don't want to be under the curse. I don't want to be evil. I don't want to associate myself with the idea that the love of money or things that I want is the root of all evil. It's where evil comes from. It's the idea that I'm not willing to share it or to give it up. And yet God says, I'm declaring you as a people, you're like your ancestors, you are evil. Why? Because, you see, you haven't given like you should give. You're under the curse. You have a curse. How can a person rob God? Well, they can do that in tithes and in offerings. Are you under a curse? Have you thought about that? You see, the curse is actually, the evil is the opposite of what God intends for us. He wants us to be blessed. That's why Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, are you with me? I'm not talking over your head, am I? These are things that you know in your, well, we might say our gut. We know it in our mind. We know it's right. We know it's the right thing to do. Because not only does the Bible teach it, Bible warns against the dangers of not living by it. Now, before you wind up in the, like I sometimes do, well, now that's the Old Testament, and we don't live under the Old Testament, Bob. This is what God was saying to the nation of of Israel. I want to remind you that the Lord just got through saying, I am the Lord and I what? I do not what? I don't change. I don't change in this principle. I don't change in the principle of understanding that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Under the law, they were required to give a tenth of all that they owned. It was to be grade A, number one, the fattest of the flock, Donald, the best of the best. You were supposed to give that, even though 10% is most often assigned to some kind of definition of the idea of the tithe or the tenth that they were giving. If you read the Old Testament, you will realize that they were called upon many, many times in everything that they did to learn to be generous no matter what. And one example, when the farmer was to plow his field and then go back for the harvest, he was told not to take the corners. You remember that? In other words, you could tell who was a generous farmer to the poor people by how big his corners were. Now stay with me. You know what I'm saying here is real simple teaching. Because God didn't tell us how big the corner had to be, right? I mean, a corner is a corner. But I guarantee you that the generous person is not worried about how big that corner is. He's making sure he leaves something for the person who can to glean. They used to have rules about whatever they dropped. If they dropped it, it stayed on the ground. You know what those were left for? The gleaners that came back through, right? That couldn't possibly have their own garden in order to have something. Yeah, it's the principle of just saying, God has been so good to me. He has blessed my life so abundantly that I don't need all of this. I remember as a kid, I used to love trucks, little trucks. I know that surprises you. I used to line them all along the wall. My aunts and uncles and friends or whatever, whenever they were going to buy me anything, they bought me a little truck. They knew I would be tickled with it. I'd line them up everywhere, all around my room. My cousins came over. I didn't want them to mess with those trucks. But you know what cousins do, don't you? Okay, enough said. I didn't want to. My mother would say, now, Bobby, you got to share your thing. I don't want to. We're all a little bit like that. What I'm saying to you is, I don't want you to just see, because I'm going to get into some things here about our finances or about our personal things. And I want to say at the very start, I don't believe any preacher or anybody really can judge any person about what they're giving. Because I believe that to be between you and God. But I do believe there's some principles that you ought to know about from the Scripture that ought to help you to do that. I want to assert to you that the principles are the same today as they were then. That whatsoever a person sows, that is what they will reap. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. You cannot reap more than what you sow. One of the great things about the Scripture is it teaches this. One of those places is the one I quoted from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. And the other place is 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. And it says, if you sow sparingly, how are you going to reap? Yeah, good, you can read. You reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully or generously, how do you reap? That's the way God deals with us. He knows what our hearts are like. He knows that it starts up here. He knows it comes from an attitude that wants to see what is correct. And you see, Israel never had it so good. You know, they had a car in every garage and a chicken in every pot. And yet he said they were evil. You were cursed with a curse. The Lord never changes. It's the same selfish curse that infects people today. But I have hope for you in the passage. I don't mind saying to you. Malachi says, bring ye all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Listen to this. This was God speaking to them. He said, prove me. Test me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. Try me. Are you cursed with the curse today? And do you know that the curse is that he's referring to is a universal kind of curse? I believe that's why he says, I am the Lord and I don't change. Jesus Christ said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. They stayed the same. Now for a minute, I want you to look at our country. Think about our country. If you want to go global, go ahead, but because it applies globally as well. But think about the way things are in our country. And if you read the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, you will read over there that James says, where do wars and fighting come from? Where do they come from among you? Don't they come from desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and war and you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask amiss. In other words, with a wrong motive, that you may spend it upon your own pleasure. You're not asking for God to bless you so you can be a greater blessing to other people, but that we want to be blessed so that we'll get blessed. Well, listen, I guess we all want to prosper, and yet James says you have not because you are cursed. You're evil. Now the Lord looks down at you, maybe looks down at me, and he says to an angel standing nearby, he says, I'd like to bless old Bob down there, you know. And the angel says to the Lord, well, why don't you? And God says, he won't let me. Huh? What? Is that really true? I won't let him? How many of you parents tried to help your children this week, but they wouldn't let you? How many of us have tried to help different folks and they wouldn't let us? They wouldn't allow us to. That shouldn't be too strange for us to get. We understand this. There's so many things that are involved in all of that happening. I know that we all understand it. It's not that they are not, our children are not capable of understanding what we want them to do. It's that they're not able yet to accept it or to hear it or not capable of receiving it.
God is telling the people here that He is not bankrupt. They said, how can we return to You? How do we get back to You? He says, well, you can do that by start doing what you're supposed to do. Give, and it will be given to you. Give so that there will be meat in the storehouse. You see, if there's something in the storehouse, not many of us grow up today with the old idea of having a storehouse, so to speak, where things were. Maybe you're old enough to remember you went down into your grandma's basement or some other place where she had all her canned goods. Or maybe they had a meat locker somewhere. And if they needed something, they went to the storehouse to get it. You see, you have to have it there to be able to go get it. That's the principle behind it. God is saying, I'm not bankrupt. It's not that. It's just simply that we violate the principle of the blessing. And that's why we don't receive. James said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, and that you may consume it upon your lust. God didn't get you into debt. Did you hear that? God didn't get you into debt. You did that by your lonesome. Oh, you may have had some little bit of help. I'm trying to get you to see something I think that is human of us. It's interesting what you can see on Facebook, because people will gladly tell you where they spend their money. I've got some California friends that it seems like they've been for the last month in Europe. They keep sending me pictures of all the great places they're seeing. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not picking on them. I'm not saying, that's what I meant by saying to you, I don't believe you can judge what a person gives or how they necessarily deal with their money. But I'm just wondering, do we concentrate on the blessing that God wants to give us? Do we understand that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive? We live in a country where we are so wealthy, and brethren, all it takes is for you to go to a third world country to find that out, that we are so wealthy, we have more money than most of the world has, and probably in the 90 percentile kind of bracket kind of thing. Because we think that we need to have so many different things to get our lives done. And it isn't really true. Are you really giving because you love God? Are you really giving because you know God blesses us this way? I know everybody wants to have financial security. And I don't believe that there's anything wrong with that. James chapter 5 says, go now, you rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. For your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten, and your gold and your silver is cankered. And the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and it shall eat your flesh as it was fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days, and it's not the right treasure. You see, we are to seek the kingdom of God. We are to pursue God's riches. You're probably sitting next to somebody that there's not enough money, possessions, or things in this world that you would trade for them. Oh, there's maybe one or two exceptions, but most of us, what would you give for your children? What would you give for your wife, your husband? would you give for your friends who have been your friends? I mean, truly your friends through life. I mean, isn't it like the commercial says, that's really priceless? We know that the things that really count the most are not the things you buy with money. Money's the easy thing. Rosemary knows that's my philosophy in life. Don't worry about it, honey. It's just money. Well, I know you've got to have money to exist. I'm not making fun of that whatsoever. But I'm trying to help us see that what God is looking for is for us not to be cursed with the cursed, not to be evil, but for us to be giving. Giving to one another. Hey, I want to say to you that I noticed that you're helping us catch up in our deficit. And that's appreciated. That's great. You all know it takes money for us to go around, and it takes money for the congregation to operate. It takes money for missions to work. And we're going to have a mission contribution not much longer. I mean, another couple of weeks or 3 weeks or so. Or money. But does it control you? Are you cursed with the curse? The idea, the principle, give. And it shall be given unto you is God's principle about blessing. And it goes much deeper than your pocketbook. It goes into your spiritual life. Sacrificial plan giving. The act of making an offering. If you're going to have a great harvest, what do you got to do? Well, you got to have a great planting, right? You don't want to be cheap with the seed. I mean, if you're going to be cheap with the seed, what's the harvest going to be like? You need to learn to sow so you can reap. That's the last thing you want to be cheap with. Or maybe you're one of those folks that says, you know, one of these days when my ship comes in, you have to send one out. You guys, you understand that? That's the principle. If you don't send one out, you can't have one come in. How much would you give? Or life itself? You know how it works. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly, sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Every man, every person, Paul writes, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Did you hear that? Every person, as they purposed in their heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's every person, not every congregation. It is an individual responsibility. Don't be cursed. Be blessed. Money is the root of all evil. Cursed is to be evil in God's sight. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a person sows, that shall he also reap. I want to encourage you with that. I hope you'll take that to heart. And then I want to talk to you at another time about the idea of the grace of giving. We'll do that in another session. Let me encourage you to give so God can bless you. Give your heart. Give your time. Give the things you have. There are things that you have, get out in the garage and in the store shed. And you've got stuff that you've been saving that you were going to use, but you haven't. There's lots of ways to give. Let's be giving people. Give and you shall get. Sow and you shall reap. That's my lesson to you today. We can help you. We want to pray with you and encourage you. We invite you to come. Always stand and sing.